Good morning. I have three scripture readings this morning, and on the board there. First one, Exodus 20, verse 12, known as the commandment with a promise. Little boy was riding his bike round the block. He's going really fast. And around it goes. Finally, his neighbor stops and says, "Johnny, boy, you were in a hurry today. Where are you going?" He says, "I'm mad at my mom. I'm running away from home." He says, "Well, you're not getting very far." He says, "My mom won't let me cross the street." Train up a child, right? Exodus 20 and verse 12. "Honor your father and your mother so that you may live long in the land the Lord your God is giving you." Next scripture, Ecclesiastes 4, verse 8. If you're looking that up, it's right after Proverbs. It's hard to find that one, isn't it? Ecclesiastes 4, verse 8. "There was a man all alone. He had neither son nor brother. There was no end to his toil. His eyes were not content with his wealth. For whom am I toiling, he asked, and why am I depriving myself of enjoyment? This too is meaningless, a miserable business." The final reading from Genesis, chapter 2. And verse 18. Genesis 2, verse 18. "The Lord God said, 'It is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him.'" This ends our readings.
That's fine enough. That's good. I'm going to invite the children to come down. Come on and sit. We have a video presentation for you that I think is being set up here right now. And we hope that you enjoy this. What is today again? I forgot. Oh, yes. How many of you have done something nice for your mother today already? You did. What'd you do, honey? What'd you do, honey? You made a bookmark for her. You made a flower. You made a bookmark. What did you do, honey? Was she spoiled? That's wonderful. That's wonderful. Anyone else? That's okay. That's okay. I mean, the day is still short. Long. Whatever it is. We have a video for you that we want you to watch with us, and it's meant to remind us how precious moms really are. So you got to sit very still and watch it while it comes up on the great. Do we want to turn lights out, or are we okay? Okay. No, we're going to be okay.
Strength. You're giving me everything you needed.
I saw some of you guys on that. You did wonderfully. That was wonderful. I think your moms liked it too. I do. I think your moms liked it too. Yeah. Well, it's a really special day. So I don't have any treats for you, but I got treats for your moms. Is that okay? All right, how about this? I'll give you a treat, but you got to share it with your mom. A lot. How's that fair? You'll share it with her? Good, good. So you'll give her the package, and you let her take all the ones she wants, and whatever's left you get to eat, okay? I see we have to have a children's sermon on sharing, don't we? Now, wait a minute. You have to learn today is a very special day, and God reminds us that we have to be thankful for mothers because we only get them for a certain length of time, right? As we grow up or they grow older or something can happen to them. So make this day special for them, okay? Will you do that? Good. I've got a treat for you. Somewhere. There it is. There we go. Well, let's do this. I think there's enough. Take two, one for you, one for your moms. You like that idea better? It's like moms are going to get five each here. There we go. Got enough in there. Can you reach down there, honey? Got them? You got two. Good. That worked out pretty good. You know, as you think about how to preach or do or work with a Mother's Day sermon, at any time, any kind of sermon, but you're always, Lord, you know, what do you want me to do with it? You have to ask Him because certainly mothers are important in Jesus' life. We see that show up on the crucifixion. Mother, behold your son, your mother. We have some very intimate examples of the special and uniqueness of mothers historically. I don't know how many either movies or books I've read or stories I've heard of soldiers, very brave men, putting their lives on the line for different reasons. And they're wounded and they're dying on the field, and the last cry within their mouths is something for mom, mother, mom, something like that. Or some phrase. That's not accidental. Mothers have an unbelievably important influence upon us. We have read a book or seen a movie where a mother's influence was negative, and we saw the destructive force that can have on a child. I have enough kids in my classes over the years that have shared through tears and grieving, the fact that their mothers didn't like them or that they deserted the family or took off and they didn't know how to handle that emotionally because it was so very painful for them to believe and cope with the fact that their mother did not find them worthy of her time and her interest. And then I can't tell you how many times, just the opposite in terms of positiveness, that I see in kids' lives as they give testimony, and you too become aware of the the unbelievable commitment, sacrifice, interest, and commitments that mothers have to make to children and to families just to get them from child, baby, infant, up into young man, young woman. And there's a lot of tears along the way sometimes, a lot of uncertainties, a lot of realizing that child number one is so different than child number two, an awareness that you're different, your amount of energy changes, your amount of understanding increases, or situations affect your life. And although we like to pretend that we've raised all of our 1, 2, 3, 5 kids the same, we realize that we've changed, that we're not the same father or mother that we were with child number 2, 3, 4 as we were with maybe child number one. And we kind of joke about it sometimes with young couples and their new babies, because they're just really guarded and kind of hover over them, and you know, you're just worried about everything. And as you get to child number 2 or 3, they're eating dirt. Well, it's good dirt. And you go on, and you don't get really careless. You just get a little bit more adjusted to the fact that every once in a while, the pacifier is going to fall on the floor, or the thing is just, they'll be fine, or we do those kind of behaviors. And we realize over a period of time the power and influence that mothers have. I like the verses that I had read to you. I mean, obviously, the first commandment with promise, the fourth commandment, depending upon how you number them, but the fourth commandment of honor your father and your mother, you have to understand that while much of Eastern culture degrades women, and many of the cultures around the Israelites would have put women in a different category, Scripture doesn't do that to women. In fact, it brings an equality and a balance into the mindset of both men and women, and rejects that mindset that somehow places women, mothers, or something else in an inferior position, and does not like to feed that, nurture it, or bring it along at all. In fact, works diligently from the very beginning of Scripture, right straight through, to value mothers. Just the fact that Jesus places such a significance on his mother on the cross is a testimony right straight through to the preciousness and the intimacy with which God feels toward his own mother, and obviously any other mother or woman or whatever category we happen to be dealing with. There is a commitment on God's part to destroy this kind of arrogance or this kind of attitude that places women in any kind of secondary position or degrades them because they're feminine or different than a man or some of those characteristics. Men, on the other hand, can find ourselves frequently influenced by a negative culture, or a culture where the camera tells you what to look at or how to feel about a woman or view a woman or women, and where we get so subject to that that men can find themselves frequently destroyed by the very culture that's around them, whether it's the arrogance of the Middle Eastern culture of women don't have the right amount of value, or the mindsets that can float in and out of different places. And so when we get to a Mother's Day sermon and we understand the significant value kind of illustrated by our video, illustrated by the reality, if you slow down and take the time to think of how you can have those talks. I had talks with my father, but I talked with my mom. Are you like that? Can you relate to that? And you kind of go, even as a guy growing up, the guys will share how much easier it is sometimes to talk to mom. Okay? They have a tenderness. They have a sensitivity. They have an insight. They can tell you the truth without making you bleed. Dad can maybe tell you the truth too, but sometimes you just... be a man. Okay. And I don't know why that is, and I can't say my father was insensitive. I don't want to do that, but I go, sometimes there is this quality about women, a mother, that is unbelievably unique and gifted to them simply because of God's creation, because of who they are, because of what they bring to a relationship, what they bring to a family. And maybe it starts way back when they have to put up with all the kicking and scratching and writing on the walls that takes place for the 9 months before they're born. I mean, they've already invested something that man can't even relate to in this child. And invested in this child, they have been bonded and connected in ways that men can see and not necessarily fully comprehend, but can see and appreciate and have experienced maybe as a man growing up in different times. And so as I came through all the different sections that I was studying and looking at, I came to this section that I wanted to focus on with you, and that comes out of Genesis. And I wanted to take the time to remind us, out of all of creation, it was not complete. It was not good. It was not finished. It was not where God wanted it to be until he created woman. That is not an accident. This has not been written so you can go, oh yeah, right. You can't ignore what God is trying to communicate in the preciousness and the uniqueness of the gift of womanhood, that thing that completes the creation, all of it, so that when God is finished, he can say, and it was very good. Some of the men need to go look in the mirror and say, do you realize this woman has managed to love you in spite of all of that stuff you do? If you want to find out how tough you can be to live with, ask your mom. Ask your mom. She'll tell you. And you'll still smile because, yeah, you're right, Ma. Yeah, yeah, you're right. And you understand. And I go, this is not an accident. This is not, this is the creation of God poured into the nature, the personhood, the persona, the attitude, the quality of life, the uniqueness and tenderness as well as strength that God gives to woman and womanhood that he wants them to possess here perfectly in Genesis, but certainly throughout all their lives. And even though sometimes life and circumstances in the world tries to turn women into any number of other things, from objects to be viewed, to be evaluated by how many pounds are here or there, by the way they look, the way their hair happens to be, and 100 other things that degrade them and lower them, God comes along and he calls us forward and he says, you honor father and mother both. You have to value them both. You have to listen to them both. There's a proverb that says, you disrespect father or mother, either one, you need to be taken out and executed. It doesn't mess with you. It says you don't have the right to treat your mother that way or your father that way, but there is this sense of balance and equality that God creates in the framework of Scripture. Sometimes we don't understand that the very phrase that we sometimes take for granted or misunderstand, this idea of someone who is my helpmeet, someone who helps, it literally in the Hebrew means a counterpart, a partner. It's the right leg to your left leg. It is the other half of who you are. It completes you as a man. It completes you as a child. To be removed and have either one of those taken from you as a child growing up, you're always searching for some of the blessing, the gifting that was meant to come through father or mother. A mother can look at a daughter and say, you look wonderful today, and that's a wonderful blessing. But a father can look at a daughter and say, you look wonderful today, and there are two separate words that have entered into this girl's heart. The same thing when a man is growing up and you understand the power of a mother going, that was well done, good for you, you did a nice job, that's wonderful. I don't want to diminish that in any way, but I want to bring about a sense of the equality and the significance of the man speaking that same word of encouragement. That word when your wife goes, you're being a little bit hard. You ever done that one? You're just being a little bit hard on him. Why don't you listen to her more? Why don't you go and talk to your son? Why don't you go and talk to your daughter? And you want to get into this kind of male stupidity and kind of fluff up. And God goes, just go talk. Listen, hear. And that works so nicely. God says, this is your equal. This is your balance. This is who I brought into your life that you can dialogue with. This is a person that will not let you go to the right or left. Where she will speak to you and communicate with you, and he will speak and communicate to you also. And so this unbelievable gift of mother and father and the uniqueness of mother day to day, but that unbelievable gift of mother and father influencing the heart of a child, bringing that impact into people's lives. This passage that points out that it was not good for man to be alone, I will make him this helper, this one to exist alongside of him, this person that speaks about this flavoring, I will make him in every way, her, in every way his equal. It is, Martin Luther translated it, female man in German. I know that's really important to you. But scholars go, that was an ultimate compliment. It sounds strange at first. It means, thank God she's female, but she's in every way equal to the man. And he addressed it that way in his German translation of this word to try and communicate the very thing that Adam was smart enough to see and recognize, at least at the beginning, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And in that moment, you have the miracle of understanding. That's why when you are sitting there sometimes caught in the garbage of the world as a man and you find yourself sliding into any kind of that disrespect that we can all be capable of, women for men or men for women, it works both ways, unfortunately. Our world can find plenty of reasons to degrade and humiliate men and downplay them and their significance as fathers and husbands and the roles that they're expected to play and the responsibilities they're expected to carry out. But in that setting, in that situation, you forget sometimes the word of God, which speaks of there is this miracle taking place, there is this completion of creation taking place, and it is wrapped in the person of what Scripture calls a woman. There is this finishing touch. There is this completion of everything that God wanted it to be. And finally, after the creation of Adam and then Eve, God is able to say, and it was very good. And you begin to understand, God is trying to communicate. God was not ignorant of the stupidity and the wickedness of the world. He was not ignorant of the fact that men were going to try and lord it over women because they were bigger or stronger or their voices are lower. You've probably seen mom and dad sometimes go through those situations, or you've watched it on TV or experienced it yourself. There is this possibility for any of us to get in that contrary mode of exactly the opposite of what God wants in a relationship with your wife or your husband for that matter, but your wife, and you can be finding yourself degrading, diminishing, and hurting the very person that God calls you forward to bless and minister to. So in this miracle of God creating woman, in this miracle of completing creation, Adam, like I said, figures it out, and he shouts out when he looks at her, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And I share with kids as they get married a reminder. I share it with school kids too. But it's that reminder that she is your equal. And you go, how do you get so mixed up in this? How do we lose that very thing where honoring father and mother is important? You got to understand the very thing that sometimes a guy will totally miss, the wife picks up. A woman sees. The very thing that you think you're being tender-hearted, the woman is just shaking her head going, you're as tender-hearted as a cactus. You got the right direction, but you got bristles all over the place. You understand? I don't know how many times, my dad would talk to me and then mom would come and straighten it back out again. And I don't mean that badly. I mean, oh, that's what he meant. Or why don't you understand your dad this way? I mean, she'd come to his defense and say, oh, that makes good sense, Mom. Thank you. But you understand this miracle of this thing called woman, this gift of femininity, this ability to be a mom, that changes us so dramatically as you are all affected, as everyone who's ever had a child knows. The moment you get married and there's two of you and it's very good and there's wonderful things you're learning as a young couple, you get married and you're making all those mental and emotional adjustments that you all have to make, and they're very good. And then a child comes along, and the first time it hit me going, oh, this child's counting on me to feed and take care of him. Oh my goodness, there is nobody else. I'm his dad. And that registers in your brain. And I know something like that has to enter the mind of a woman. Something comes along. There is nobody. I am his mom. And from that point on, whatever that connection is, whatever that tenderness is, whatever brings tears sometimes so easily, whatever allows them to, like my kids at school, they go, man, I have been horrible. And my mom forgave me again. How does she do that? And they're not joking. They're just going, how can mothers do that? And the answer comes back, because sometimes that's just the ability of what God has placed within the beauty of this woman, within the character of this mother, within the intimacy of what you're dealing with. And so you begin to understand God's point. Mothers are meant to be honored. Women are meant to be esteemed. They are meant to be valued, held in a degree of value that God says, you as husband, you as son, you as man are to hold women with that degree of esteem. Are they going to think like you, respond like you, and act like you all the time? No. That isn't always bad. I certainly don't want to compliment or push women too hard to go, yeah, you better do everything my way or the highway. That's not what I'm asking, because God has given us one another, and he's given us his word to be that balance and that test so that we walk through this with integrity. But the other half, the right leg to the left, the balance, the other half of my mind in some cases, that other half of set of emotions or feelings that I may not fully always comprehend, I watched my father change over the years. Who he was as a young man while I was growing up was different than who he became as an older man, and then who he became as an aged man, and how he interacted and reacted with my mom. And you realize that in the middle of all of this, God is working in the uniqueness of maleness and femaleness to bring us to those points of understanding where a husband finally looks at his wife and says, I can't believe what you've put up with me. I can't. You understand? It's that moment of balance. It's that moment of understanding. It's that moment of not belittling yourself or degrading yourself where you start to understand exactly what God was doing in this gift of creation. God does this on purpose. God wants the church to stand like a beacon in the world by the way you respond and treat mother to child, child to mother, husband to wife, and wife to husband. This is not a singular lesson that's just compliment mothers. This is about living in the fullness of God's presentation, taking the uniqueness of who you are as a woman and the uniqueness of who you are as a man and bringing them together in what God is calling you to become and what God is calling your family to become. And so in that moment, you begin to understand God is diligently working to produce in your heart that sense of honor your father and your mother, that it'll go well with you and you will live long on the earth. God isn't making that up. He's trying to identify the qualities that preserve your life. I always share with the kids, if I get honest with myself and I examine the good and bad things I've done in my life, and I got a lot of them, and I ask the question, would this have been better if I honored my mother and father? I have never yet said no on any major problem, disruption, difficulty, situation. Now, your life may be different, But I honestly have examined that, and I've said, no. If I would have honored them, if I would have done what my mom or dad said or together had said, I would have been better off, much more blessed, much more encouraged. The challenge is whether or not you and I, as men and women, as we understand the gift of creation, understand how to continue to respond and interact with one another and see the precious gift of the uniqueness of men and women, boys and girls. I work with high school kids. You know that quite a bit. And there is this huge dilemma sometimes. High school boys sometimes do not treat women with a great deal of respect. It's a characteristic that is fed by culture, by music, by a variety of different things. But I want to suggest also respect or disrespect starts in the family by the way a husband treats his wife, the way children respond to their mothers. I have kids struggling, just immensely struggling, believing that their mothers or their fathers don't love them. And my heart breaks because I can't always figure out a way to get into this kid's heart or life to try and help them understand that even sometimes when that mother or father is limiting you or seems to be reacting to you, God is pouring a blessing into your life that you may not see at that moment, but you will. And so the challenge as we live out Mother's Day is this. Here's a directive for you. I want all of you, if you meet with your mom, to pray around the circle at the table, and every one of you say something nice and thank God for her. Dear God, thank you for my mom because, you kids listening, little ones, children's sermon, no candy next time. I got your attention now, I know. I want to know that you prayed over your mom today all the way around the circle so that every husband, father, son or daughter prayed around that circle and thanked God for what they have been given in the gift of their mom. And if mom needs things, I want you to pray, help my mom. Give her grace and encourage her. You understand? That's that commitment that we have to continue to make. Wouldn't it be fascinating if we had 7 people in our family and each day of the week we managed to meet for supper, we prayed for one of the people in the family? Dear Lord, thank you for my littlest sister. She's kind of a nerd, but she's really wonderful to have around. And Lord, help me to love her more. You ever think praying that as a son, a daughter, a brother, a sister would make a difference? You understand? We talk about being God's people. We talk about being prayer warriors. We talk about it. But the truth is, sometimes just to pray with our own families is a difficulty. To take the time to pray out loud for husband, for wife for husband. To take the time to pray around a circle for grandma and grandpa or whoever else happens to be in that circle. It's like, no, we got to eat quick. I felt that. Oh my goodness, I'm going to have to lead this prayer and I want to eat. And I go, how can we be that bad? And I go, it just kind of creeps up on you. I want us to just learn that gift of appreciation. And more importantly, that gift of thankfulness. And more importantly than that, that gift of ongoing blessing into the life of the men and women around us. How much more would you be touched if someone was sitting there praying for you at the meal? Lord, I'm going to thank you for my mom. She's had a bad day today. She was really hurting and angry today. And I didn't do the dishes and I didn't help her very much. And I was really disrespectful today. But Jesus, please help me not to do that to her anymore because she doesn't deserve that. Do you think that wouldn't touch a mother's heart? Do you think it wouldn't be touching a child's heart if you were praying, little Johnny had a tough day today, but I need you to help him understand I love him and more than you'll ever know. I pray, Lord, you'd bless him, help him at school because things are really hard for him sometimes. And I know he didn't make the team and that really hurts him too. And just pour out a lot of acceptance and love into his heart tonight. And I go, they got to hear that. I remember once when I told you, I walked, I kind of went over to visit my mom and dad, and I didn't, you know, I just came up to the back door, and the screen door is open, and they're sitting at the dining room table praying for me. Praying for me. On their own. And you go, do my mom and dad really pray for me? Yes. I'm an old guy, and it blessed my socks off. You understand, we're missing the very thing that the secular holiday forces us to look at. Start to appreciate the gift, the uniqueness of all that God has given to you. Balance it by the balance of the Word of God and being faithful to it. But in the middle of it, grow into the people that God is calling us to be. Pray with me if you would. Lord, pour out into our hearts a deeper sensitivity of respect and kindness and gentleness for both men and women, for children as well as parents. Help us to understand that we feel deep things and we can be hurt by a word. And Lord, so many times Satan gets in our mouth and twists our words and causes our heart to just go in directions it shouldn't go. Rebuke that, Lord, and uproot it from us and keep it away so that it doesn't continue to grow and gain strength, but instead is uprooted and destroyed by the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord. I pray that you would just give us a special tenderness and grace for one another. I pray that there would be a very, very much an anointing of all the women and the mothers and the grandmothers and great-grandmothers that are here today. Come and bless each and every one of them. Encourage them and fill them with hope and grace, but help them to put their trust in you, Lord, so that however the day goes out, they will know they are loved and appreciated by you. We pray this all in your name. God's people say, amen. As we prepare for the offering, as we prepare for communion, I ask that God would just bless your heart. Guest or a visitor, please do not feel like you have to put anything in. And if you need some, please take it out. Going to be a nice song as we take offerings. So listen to the words. It's a really neat blessing of hearing the words of this song, too. So here we go.
I have to tell everybody just a sec. Carol, can you hold on just a second? Okay. Something very special happened to Steve and I this weekend. We became grandparents 2 weeks early. And Tom had picked out this song and asked if I would sing it with him. And we were practicing on Thursday morning, and I came to his house, and he goes, I have a really funny feeling that you're going to have a very special Mother's Day this weekend. And I go, or this year, and I go, what? You're going to be a grandma? And I said, no, I'm not kidding. I said, not yet. And I am not 2 weeks early. I'm not kidding. Half hour, 45 minutes later, Joel calls me and says, Mom, you're going to be a grandma. Well, did I start bawling? But the reason Tom wants me to tell you this is because I'm so emotional right now. So he wanted me to tell you something to lighten you up, or me up, so I can get through this. So this is all for everybody out here that loves somebody. God loves us, and he wants to know that. Wants you to know that as much as we love, he loves. Someone once asked, if only you knew how short life would be, what would you do? What would you say when God called you home? What would they engrave once you were gone? I hope they would see what you've done in your life, who you came from, and how you survived. I hope they'd see. She believed in. She
lived all her life, a sacrificial mother and an honorable wife. She gave all she had, and through every trial, made life much sweeter because of her smile. Everyone
for man's. So we're going to have the musicians come forward.